Hi, everyone. This is Russ Thornton, your host for the Wealth Care Advisor Spotlight. And today I'm excited to be joined by both a friend and colleague, Jasmine Lambert. Welcome, Jasmine.
Hi, Russ. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. So we've got a lot to cover, and I've been looking forward to this conversation. But why don't we kick things off by you just taking a moment or two and telling us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and perhaps most importantly, why you do it.
Yeah, of course. So I'm a financial planner, and I really help young professionals build wealth. I'm really passionate about focusing on younger generation. Like for me, I'm a millennial. And so people around my age, you know, mid-20s, early 30s. And I like to focus on this generation because I never had anyone to teach me about the stock market or financial planning. I think the first time I started even really trying to learn about it or invest was like the summer of 2018. And I got into this field in October 2018. So for me, it's just so important because I never realized what I was missing out on and I never understood it. I've heard of it. It was so unknown to me before I started working in the field. So right now, my focus is really just educating people and getting people ahead of the curve. Like everyone, you know, we in my generation, we have nothing but time on our side. So I know a lot of people automatically think retirement when they're thinking of investing or financial planners, but yeah, that's the angle. But for me, like I'm focusing from the start, like what are your goals in terms of like saving for a house or getting married? And some of those first, you know, earlier stages of life, getting settled into a career path when you're having your first 401k, you're starting to make real people money. I do it because I never had that person and I just want to educate people like me, basically.
So I'm curious what for you, and I'm glad you kind of shared your personal motivation. So what kind of first sparked your interest? Like what happened in, let's say, summer of 2018 that first led you down the path to start looking into this for yourself before you obviously, you know, wound up pursuing a career in it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I was, you know, I went to school for sports entertainment event management. So most people just assume, oh, you must have went to school for finance or, you know, something like that. And I'm like, actually, no, I did not at all. So, you know, out of college, I went, you know, I was in the fitness industry. And I figured out in a few years that it wasn't for me and I didn't like the environment. So I think what I was doing is really just trying to explore other options. And I came across it in research and people talking about the importance of passive income. And I think that's kind of what got me interested in like, okay, I see like it's not all about just working for money, like let's get this money to work for us. So I think that's kind of what sparked the interest, is me kind of realizing I wasn't into what I was doing for work with the fitness industry, and then kind of learning about that and like finding out the motivation, like, okay, it's not just okay, work, pay bills, you know, die. It's just, you know, let's work and do enjoy life, but also let's plan and invest for the future. So I think it was kind of out of the blue, just coming across it and maybe Google searches, things like that. And there's just so much information out there, like between social media and YouTube, and people are just talking about the importance of it. But, you know, then it's really on you to really dive in and kind of teach yourself at a certain point. And that's kind of what I was doing. I started off with like random penny stocks and kind of just trying to track small stocks and, you know, through like an online brokerage app. And it was so random. Like it really was. It was just so random. And, it's just crazy to think that, you know, I'm here now and the amount of knowledge I've gained just in, you know, over less than 5 years ago, really, it's insane.
Yeah. Well, and I know you mentioned like it sounds like you really kind of jumped in with both feet in the fall of 2018. And so where, just so our listeners will have some context, where are you based and like, how are you, like generally speaking, how are you set up as a financial planner?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So, I am in Northern Virginia. So, you know, outside of DC, about 40 miles, a lot of the clients I have now, some are in this area, but I'm from Pennsylvania originally, so I also have some clients from there, friends from school, things like that, and I'm set up as a fee-only advisor through WealthCare, so I don't do brokerage accounts or anything like that, fee-based only financial planning and investment advice, and I'm not, I think a lot of people think, you know, like Wall Street automatically, or just, they're like, oh, you just do stocks and like Wall Street stuff, and it's like, no, not exactly. Totally different. So, yeah, fee-based financial planner, and that's how I'm set up with WealthCare.
Awesome. Well, and I look forward to talking a little bit more about your relationship with and your experience with WealthCare here in a moment. But before we get there, this podcast and these conversations are all about showcasing you, like literally putting the spotlight on you and the work that you
yeah.
do. So I would love for you to take, you know, a few moments or a few minutes and tell us a little bit more about the work you do, and from your perspective, is there anything unique about who you are, who you serve specifically, and how you ultimately serve them?
Yeah, I mean, I like to think so. I really, for me, obviously, you know, I'm a woman, and I'm married to a woman, so I focus a lot on educating women and others in the community, LGBTQ community. So I think it's really untapped, and I have so much personal experience because it's my life. And I know how hard it is to build trust or go and establish relationships like this. And the best example I can give, and I actually spoke to it with WealthCare Women's Forum, which we'll speak about later for sure, but I think a lot of people, it's untapped for the most part, I think. And for me, I know the best example I can give to really help people understand that might not be in a situation is that, you know, if when my wife and I went to go house hunting, it's nerve-wracking to think of how is the loan officer going to perceive our relationship? How is a realtor going to perceive our relationship? You know, you're nervous about how are they going to act? Will they accept me? And that's hard when you're making big life decisions like that. And then in terms of even just wedding planning, going to venues, finding vendors, you know, you have to do so much more research where it's like, do they have experience with LGBTQ? Do they have, you know, what's the vibe when we tell them, hey, we're two women, we're getting married, this is what the situation is. So this is, financial planning is, that's deep, that's personal. People don't freely speak about their money or their financial goals or their debt or their, you know, that's, you really have to establish trust. And I think I know how important it was for us to really try to find people in the professional aspect that in big changes in our life where you're really relying on these people for some deep stuff. It's, you really want to find someone that you can trust. So I try to be really open about that and really focus on helping women who may feel like, you know, oh, I don't know anything, or they're scared to ask questions, or people in the LGBTQ community that may be scared to approach an advisor or even start this conversation because they don't know how they're going to be perceived. And so for me, that's really, really important for me. And, you know, I like to be open about that because I want people to know that I can relate. And that's the best, I mean, what better way is there to build trust? You know, if you know someone can relate to you, it's like the first step in building a relationship, being able to relate, establishing that trust with them. And so I try to really do some research on some statistics or other things about the LGBTQ community, because it's helpful to realize like some of the different planning you have to do, end of life planning. And, you know, a lot of states are different, and everyone's different too. So it's just like really trying to find a way to connect with those people. And I try to educate others, like my personal team here in Virginia in our office. When I have an education session, I try to pull up some reports and statistics to share with them so that they can be educated. And I brought it up in the Women's WealthCare Forum that we do, and they loved it. They're like, this is awesome. We want to know more about this. So it's really just making it, you know, creating awareness to hey, there's certain things that you might want to say differently or different terminology that you really want to understand just in case you run into the situation. You don't want to start the relationship off by maybe disrespecting someone unknowingly, and just going in with an open mind. So that's definitely what, you know, why it's so important to me is I can relate, and I really want to show people that I understand you, I know how it is, and I'm in the same boat as you, and you can speak freely to me, and that's just so important to me.
I have so many questions, but no, thank you for sharing that. I think that's an awesome story about not just why you're serving your clients, but you know also how you're serving, because it sounds to me, and I certainly don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds to me like you're able to speak very honestly and genuinely from a place of personal experience. And I can only imagine, I would love to ask you, like how often in your conversations with, you know, clients that are, you know, around your age bracket, like how many times can you say, well, yeah, this is what I did, or this is what my wife and I did, or this is how we handled it. So you can actually not just say like, here's what you should do, or here's the rule of thumb, but you can actually like, say like, here's how I handle it personally. Does that come up a lot in your conversations?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's like practice what you preach. You know, I don't want to go out there and say, I think a lot of people, it's funny, like speaking about my friend from like high school or college, and they automatically think like, oh, what is Jasmine going to think about this and how they're approaching it? And I'm like, listen, you still have to live your life. Like, this is what I would do, you know, and I do say that a lot. Like, this is what I would do, you know, you can do it or not. It's obviously everyone has a choice, but I always, always can put that in perspective. Like, this is how I would do it, or this is what I did, or this is my experience. And for me, like, authenticity is so important. So I really just want to be upfront and honest and authentic, transparent in the process so that, you know, people know, like, okay, she's not just speaking textbook to me. She's talking about her life, and that feels like, you know, you're talking to a person. You have a relationship with that person. So I think that's probably so huge in my process, is being able to insert like, yeah, I went through this experience. So I definitely, it's very common.
And I would have to imagine that's probably helped a lot with finding new clients. I mean, I imagine that kind of authenticity, which you live and breathe, probably leads to introductions, referrals, word of mouth, both among clients, probably as well, like among other professionals and centers of influence. Has that been your experience?
For sure. Yeah. I actually, you know, the DC area is, you know, the DMV, and I'm actually in kind of like a DMV group me that's all different, you know, members of the LGBTQ community. So I'll ask them a lot, like, hey, how many of you would be interested in like a webinar, or what kind of topics are you interested in? And I think coming in as just a friend to them and just someone else in the community, it's so much easier for them to be transparent, like, and feel comfortable, like, I want to speak up about this. Because a lot of people, I think, and this is anyone, they're scared to ask the wrong question, or they think, I get that a lot, is this might be a dumb question, or, and it's like, no, like, I want you to be upfront. I always, always tell clients or prospects in a meeting, like, it's more helpful for me, like, for me, and it will be more helpful for you if you're just more transparent and tell me your experience, whether it's about the personal life or technology or my onboarding process. Like, what do you think? Is this easy? Is this too much? Like, I want their feedback just so it can be better for others. And as the advisor, you don't always see the client side of things. Like, you have your advisor hat on, and it's nice to get that feedback. So I think that's super helpful, is just kind of finding out, putting yourself in there and really, hey, what are your thoughts, and how can I help you better? How could this process be better?
Yeah. And I certainly don't want to reduce, you know, who you are and the work you do, to a perhaps overused term like a niche, but I can't help but think that a big reason for your success is because you didn't go out and just pick a niche because you thought it was going to be lucrative or it was going to help you you know, maybe grow your business faster than another approach. It sounds to me like you've actually looked at your own life and the people around you and found common threads and found a great way, like this example you just gave with the DMV GroupMe, like to approach them on a personal level and to help them feel like to lower their guard, to feel more like they can just have a conversation with you, that you're not there with an agenda to sell them or to, you know, to do business. Obviously, you operate as a for-profit professional, so I know you want to help people and grow and get paid appropriately to do so. But I just can't help think about the wonderful approach that you have taken that it strikes me, like if I was someone in your community, that it would feel very disarming to know that I could, you know, just, you know, hey, Jasmine, I had a question about XYZ and, you know, my friend said they had spoken with you about it. It just sounds like it's a much easier and less overwhelming or apprehensive way for people to approach you and just start a dialogue. I mean, is that's kind of what I'm hearing. Is that kind of been what you have seen?
Yeah, definitely. And I tell people all the time, especially when I'm speaking to women, I'm like, you know, explain kind of what I just did with you, to explain who I serve and why. And I'm like, I think that most people, and maybe especially women, are like, they think of a financial advisor or a financial planner and they're like, oh, it's a man in a suit. Meanwhile, I'm not a man in a suit, you know? I'm someone that they can connect with. If it's being a woman, if it's being a younger generation, if it's being LGBTQ, I'm also Puerto Rican. So, you know, having that aspect is having a little bit of diversity and being able to connect. Cultures are different. So being able to have that view as well and bringing that to the table and trying to educate my own family who never taught me this stuff, didn't know this stuff for themselves, and seeing how, oh, things could be so different if this would have been, you know, if we were educated on this. And that's, it is, it's really so much about like how I see it in the impact of my personal life, where I'm like, man, I really want other people to get ahead of this and be in a position that when their grandparents, that their family set up for success and that they're all planned and prepped for and building generational wealth. Because that's, I mean, my family in Puerto Rico, I go there and meet new family all the time. It's just like, we have big families usually. And, there's a lot of opportunity there to just teach and, you know, teach the younger generation now so that down the line it continues and continues. And hey, who knows, down the line, hopefully everyone's, you know, financially literate. So that's the goal. You know, it's so much about educating people. And that's because of the lack of education I had in this field and how I now see, like, oh man, I look at my grandparents, like, oh, we could have done this, we could have done that. But we just didn't know. We weren't raised to learn that stuff. And, you know, the older generations didn't learn that. They were just farmers and cleaners and things like that. Very like hands-on people on an island. So I just try to connect it with my real life experience and help others kind of be better planned and educated for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting that I think at its root, I think a lot of what you do as a financial planner and what we do in the financial advice industry is really helping people get a grip on all the things they don't know that they don't know, frankly, which I'm kind of hearing you describe. So I think it's fantastic. And I appreciate you sharing both the professional and the personal perspective of kind of who you are and who you're serving and the work you're doing for them. So I'd like to maybe get a little bit more specific or more practical. Could you share with us, Jasmine, maybe a favorite client success story that comes to mind for you?
So, you know, if I think of that, it's always such a hard question. I think it's not like I think when people think, oh, client success, they're thinking numbers. you know, everyone wants to measure success with numbers. But for me, like, I'm starting off with people who are younger, who are just finally consistent in their, you know, they're in a career path finally, their salary's bumped up, they're kind of getting settled into life. So I just think of, you know, a client, I think what, maybe like 31 years old, female, comes in, no experience with investing, only has a 401k through work, and kind of understands the concepts of that. But in terms of, like, the way I would define success in this scenario, and it's the first thing I jump to, is just the education process in the beginning, and sitting down, just her and I, you know, sitting at a table across each other, and me saying, all right, do you have investment experience? Yeah, I have a 401k. Okay, how much do you know about it? Not much. I know my company does this or that. So then it's my turn, like, okay, here's a little bit more information. And I think the success came from, like, after a couple of meetings and showing the client proposals and opportunities and financial planning that we do with the GDX software, is like, after those meetings, she comes back to me and she's like, yeah, I'm actually starting to get this. It's starting to make sense. And for me, that's success. Is like, I took someone with zero knowledge and presented some more detailed personal information in terms of investments and planning, and she asked questions and I was able to answer them. And at the end of it, I just like took someone through this whole path that went from no knowledge to now, like, okay, I have two different accounts here. This does this, this does that. And I'm starting to get it now. And that's what, for me, I just feel success from that. Having someone start from nowhere to, I guess maybe too, because that's kind of like how I felt. Like, I had no knowledge, and then here I am now, like, giving other people, you know, sharing my knowledge with them to help them succeed. So I think that's kind of the way I would look at my client success, is and someone that was older than me, you know, I'm not 30 yet, but it was really cool to be able to walk someone through from the start and just provide them with knowledge that, who would have known that I would have the knowledge to even share, you know, a few years ago. It's kind of crazy. So yeah, I think that would be the best example I could use.
Well, and I think that's actually a great example. And I think that's exemplary of not just the work and the educational approach you take, but also of the fact that you're almost serving like as a guide. You're like guiding these people to their own realizations. I mean, how awesome is it when you can literally see the light bulb go off over someone's head? Or in this example, when they actually say, like, hey, I get it. Like, this is starting to make sense now. I mean, I gotta think that's super rewarding and super fulfilling. I know in my work it has been.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy because I even look at these proposals and I'm like, geez, like, I'm presenting this and I'm like, I really hope I don't lose them. You know, you never want to get too in the weeds with some people, because everyone, I think that's super important too, is how is this person, what type of learner is this person? Does this person want intricate details? Do they really want to get in the weeds, or do they want general, like, okay, break it down, but be more general with it. I don't need the technical, like, analysis of all this stuff. I just kind of want to know. I just want to understand what I'm doing with my money, and how this all works. And I think that's the thing too, is just knowing how to present it and get feeling confident in, like, okay, the way I did it was enough for them to get the situation, but I didn't lose them at any point, because it can get real dry. It's not super exciting stuff if you're getting down to the technical numbers and percentages and everything like that. So yeah, I think it's good when you can just kind of, when you feel like you broke it down perfectly to have that person understand, it's awesome.
Yeah, and I maybe we'll address this a little bit more deeply in a little later in the conversation, but I'm curious, because you mentioned the GDX planning software. Have you found that planning process and tool specifically kind of helps, for lack of a better word, like, elevate the conversation so you don't get too deep in the weeds, or it doesn't get too dry, and maybe it helps your clients better understand the connection between investing and money and, you know, their broader life and what all the money's for?
Yeah, I mean, bringing that into the equation is like, when, if I send out my investor questionnaire, which, you know, the end result is to get the information into the planning software, they're like, they say, they'll put some information in, but they're like, I have no idea what this is. So it's like, all right, let's walk through it. And the big thing with GDX and how we approach planning is, you know, it's goals-based. So for me, I have two clients specifically I can think of off the top of my head that are planning for a wedding down the road, no set date, but a few years out, and being able to say, okay, we're choosing, you know, your time frame is this, and based off of this time frame, you know, we think the risk should be here. Do you feel comfortable with that? And kind of just showing them how, like, if this is your goal and this is your time frame for that goal, how do you get there? And then that's what brings it back to the proposal. It's like, okay, you told me this was your goal. It looks like you're on track to hit that goal by, you know, X amount of time. So now let me show you the way we're going to get there. This is how your accounts can be set up to get you to reach that goal. And then they can kind of see the bigger picture. It's not just investments and numbers related. It's really about their personal goals. And I think it's funny because, like, I have clients that automatically assume, like, oh, you know, I want to do this big vacation and do something for myself because I never, you know, I have all this money saved up and I'm investing and I'm doing all these things right. But is it bad if I spend, like, a few, you know, a few extra dollars and go, you know, on this bucket list trip? I'm like, this is exactly why we have this software, because we actually encourage you to do that. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. Like, it's not just working for your money. You know, you want to save for retirement and you want to invest and do all these things. But if you're doing all this, you absolutely deserve to not sacrifice the quality of your life. And, you know, and that's what our tool helps, is show, like, are you sacrificing quality of life because you're overfunding your accounts and you're putting so much money and you're so on track. You're like, are you living your best life? Like, you know, you can spend money here and there. And I think it's a lot of people do that are younger than mine that I've noticed. They're like, they have a ton of money in cash and savings, and I think it's scary for them to, like, touch it and use it for anything fun or cool, like personal vacations and things like that. So I think it's such a helpful tool to really showcase how it's such a goals-oriented process, just not financial, but, like, life goals, vacations, like, vacation homes, whatever it is. I think it's super important to showcase that.
Yeah, yeah, well, I agree, but I appreciate you sharing that and that perspective. And I think you may have already – at least indirectly kind of address this, but I'd like to ask the question in here, maybe more specifically, what's the biggest challenge that you help people address or solve through your work, Jasmine?
Yeah, that's definitely kind of touches on what we talked about. So, you know, because I'm so focused on educating young professionals, I think the biggest challenge, and it's probably why it's the most rewarding, is getting them to fully understand the process and the importance of it. A lot of the young professionals I talk to only have experience with their 401k. Some have old 401ks and they don't know where they are. So another challenge is I have to give them homework and say, hey, you need to go find that old 401k because it's sitting who knows where, doing who knows what. You need to have all your accounts and know what's in them, what your situation is. Because I can't, you know, it's easier for me to accurately get the big picture if I'm seeing all your accounts, whether I'm managing them or not. I need to see all of your accounts so that way I can find efficiencies throughout the entire plan. And that's so huge, I think, with the process, is like, let's find efficiencies across the whole picture. You have 401ks, I have a friend same age as me who's like, I'm like, so where's that old 401k? I don't know. I probably have some mail somewhere. Do you know what the balance is? No idea. I'm like, all right, now here's your homework. And so it's like, it's the challenging part is to get them to do that and understand the importance of it. I think really it's just really understanding the importance of, you need to know where all your stuff is. Like, that's your money and it's just sitting around. You need to understand what it's doing. And, you know, people say, oh, I have an IRA. I'm like, okay, do you know if it's Roth or traditional? No idea. So it's like really like, all right, really digging into them. Like, you have homework. This isn't just, oh, here I am. I'm asking questions. I'm helping you with this. It's like, now you gotta bring your stuff to the plate too, so we can really work efficiently together. So I think that's probably the most challenging, based off working with the younger professionals. It's like, they know that they have 401ks. They're like, I don't know who it's with. We don't know what the balance is. We don't know the match. And it's just helping them utilize all these tools as best as they can, make sure they're getting the most out of their investments that they have no idea about. So it's, yeah, that's definitely the most challenging.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, from my perspective as a fellow financial planner, I mean, kind of understanding who a person is and what they have and helping them kind of get organized is almost a precursor to being able to give them advice. But it sounds like there's a ton of value for a lot of these people, especially these younger professionals that maybe, like you said, have a couple of 401ks scattered here and there from past jobs, and just helping them kind of get their arms around what they have and maybe getting some organization and some structure around it. It sounds like it's super valuable.
Yeah, for sure. Especially because what happens a lot of times, like if there's an old 401k, and I found it with a different friend who, they're like, yeah, I think it's over at this place, and they find it. I'm like, you know, is it invested? And then you find out, like, oh, it's been sitting in cash for like a few years, and you had no idea. And it's like, oof, that hurts. But it's good that they made the step to talk to a financial planner, because it's like, now you got someone that's going to be, you know, busting down doors and say, hey, go find this, because, like, you need to know what's going on with it. It might just be sitting in cash. And obviously, you know, inflation's not super kind to cash. So if you're sitting in cash, that kind of hurts. And to think about, like, oh, man, if I do this or invest it here or roll it over, I have so much more opportunity. And I just letting it sit over there in cash. I have no idea what's going on with it. And you don't realize how much value it would bring to really focus on that. And, hey, make sure it's doing the right thing over there. And if it's over there, that's fine. I'm not saying I need to manage it, but we need to know what's going on over there. And, you know, if you are invested, okay, what are you invested in? Let's diversify your other accounts, because you're already in this, you know, these types of investments here. Let's diversify across these other accounts. And that's why it's so important to really get all the financials in the picture, all the accounts in the picture, because you don't want to double dip in anything. You really want to diversify portfolios. And it's really, you know, helpful whether we're managing or not, just to know what do you have over here, so we can you know, complement it on the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, again, I don't want to, I don't think we can overstate the value of just helping people, like, understand what they have and where it is and what it's doing. And may ultimately, yeah, making sure their money's working for them as opposed to actually potentially working against them.
Exactly.
You know, so, and I'm really interested to hear your perspective on this question. What surprised you most about your work?
So it's kind of funny because I always go to the story of when I first interviewed at my firm, and I think it was the initial interview. And like I said, I worked in fitness before, and I was just super unhappy. And never in my life did I see myself working in finance. I went to school for sports entertainment event management, and I really want my focus and the reason for that is I'm so passionate about sports and entertainment, but I really wanted to be like a manager for artists because I wanted to help people succeed and help. I didn't want people to get screwed over, basically. So I come into this interview, and it's started off as an administrative assistant. I'm like, I remember clearly what I said. I said, you know, they're explaining, hey, this is a small, you know, small company with a lot of potential for growth. You know, we can provide you the steps to become a financial advisor. And I literally said, no, I'm good. I definitely don't want to be a financial advisor. I'm all set on that. I just want to be kind of behind the scenes in the background, really focus on more of the admin work. I'm good on that. But yeah, it's great to know. Don't want to be a financial advisor. And then I'm working doing admin work and seeing the other advisors and the impact that they have, whether it's on a single person, a family, a business owner, and realizing, okay, I worked in fitness, and it was so cold, you know, selling. Just felt, I don't know, it just didn't feel authentic for me. And then I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, this isn't like that. And I think I kind of went into it with that idea because I'm just so used to the sales, you know, just so, it's so sales oriented. And I was like, no, this is not for me. And I'm like, wait, this is not what this is. I was like, this is actually like insane. And it brings value to whether it's a small business owner, a, you know, multi-million dollar corporation, if it's a, you know, Joe with one dog, if it's a family, if it's a married couple, it does not matter, like, who they are, what they do. Behind the scenes, all I saw was, holy, we're making a huge impact on these people's lives. Like, I just never understood that. And once I grasped that, I'm like, okay, it took a year for me to be like, all right, I think I'm gonna start studying, and here I am. So I think that's really what surprised me is, like, I think I went in with a stigma, and, you know, just like I was saying earlier, people think Wall Street, selling stocks, commissions, whatever, and I'm thinking, well, that, you know, that doesn't seem super valuable or impactful. Well, I was very wrong, and it wasn't long until I noticed that. And once I really fully understood that and understood the impact I could have on, because I related to my own family, I'm like, geez, like, I could really help my family, which means that obviously I can help others. So I was like, this is kind of right up my alley. I was like, I'm helping people in the same way I wanted to in the sports entertainment industry, but just in a way that I would have never imagined myself. Finance, no. Like, I hated math classes. I hated my finance classes. I hated my accounting classes. And here I am. So I think that is the biggest surprise of it all. It was just the way I went into it and just kind of throughout college and what I thought I wanted to do. People were like, well, how are you, you went to school for that? Like, what? And I'm like, no, I'm doing exactly what I always wanted to do. I'm helping people. And I think that was the biggest surprise of it all.
What a great story. I'm just curious. Do you remember, Jasmine? Like, was there a, like, during that first year or so when you kind of thought, like, all right, I'm happy doing admin work. Like, was there a specific catalyst or a specific incident or story that you heard about or maybe saw firsthand that, like, flipped the switch for you, or like, where you're like, yeah, this actually is different than what I thought, and this is something I'd be interested in learning more about and doing? Or was it really just kind of a culmination of seeing a lot of the good work that your colleagues were doing around you over time?
I mean, probably kind of both. And I think too, another idea that people have is that it's only for super, they're like, oh, I don't have a ton of money, or, you know, they just think I don't have enough money, I'm not worth your time type of deal. I realize that's not always the case. And then also people have this idea that, oh, they own this huge business. They have, you know, they're super successful in what they do. They're making a ton of money. They must have everything. You know, they must have control of everything, especially their finances. And I think for me, it was realizing, wow, even people who you think are like out of reach and just totally have things going on, those are actually the people that need our help the most, because they're so busy as business owners or focusing on, you know, their careers that they don't have time to sit down and really think about this whole process, whether it's, you know, business succession or just anything like retirement or, you know, helping their employees with this. And I think, like, realizing, like, okay, just because you have a lot of money and you're super successful does not mean you actually know how to manage your money, or that you have someone managing your money. So I think what I learned was hearing stories and successes from colleagues is like, okay, not everyone does know what's going on. Just because you think they're so out of reach and you think they're so successful, it doesn't mean that they have everything going for them. And it's like, we're like that missing puzzle piece for them. It's like, yeah, you're awesome at what you do, but we're awesome at what we do. So let's help you with what we're good at, and then you still can thrive in your area and come together, and that creates success. So I think really it was just the culmination of seeing seeing it behind the scenes throughout several people. And when I'm telling you this, I am thinking of a specific business owner who's, you know, a minority owned, veteran owned, women owned business in DC. And I'm just thinking of, you know, it's crazy to think that we're able to help someone that's so successful and has like this awesome business. And we bring a different, you know, we're able to educate them on our process and show we can provide value to them just as much as we can, you know, one individual or a family, like I said. So, yeah, it's like putting the puzzle pieces together, and that's where it really clicked for me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I think you and I could probably continue this conversation for another couple of hours without breaking a sweat. But in the interest of time, let's kind of move things along, because there's a couple of other things I'd really love to get your input on. One of which is let's say a college student approached you and they were interested in becoming a financial advisor or a financial planner. Knowing what you know now and what you've experienced, what advice or guidance would you give to someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing I would do is say why. You have to be, in anything you do, you know, you should have some passion behind why you're doing it. Because it helps you provide value. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. So I'd want to know why for sure. And I think at that point, the conversation would go freely, because it's like, okay, if I understand your why, then I can explain, oh, well, this is how you can help those people or help people in that situation. Or if they have the complete wrong idea and they have, you know, if they're thinking, oh, it's just Wall Street brokerage stuff, it's, you know, if they don't understand the whole financial planning process. And I think, you know, shameless plug, I would be like, well, with Wealthcare, we actually really focus on goals and trying to showcase a different side of it that they may not understand. And, you know, just making sure they have the right reasons and not going into it blindly and hoping that they understand like the full impact they can have on people. And just sharing my experience, I think, would be helpful, because they might come out of college and know this is what they want to do, or they might think that's what they want to do. And when they hear about how it really is, maybe they're like, oh man, that's not really what I thought it was. Or maybe even better, like, oh, that's actually really awesome. So I think it would really just be, I would ask them why. And it's like my, I have younger siblings, and I'm telling my younger brother, he's 13. I'm like, you know, just so you know, like, not, you know, you don't have to go to college to be successful. There's so many opportunities. You can go get licenses in this, and you can work in finance. You know, there's so many opportunities for you. So I think just showing the different paths you can take just in our world too would be really helpful, so that college student can be like, oh, I really like this route. And then they can start researching, you know, what should I study? How do I get licensed? You know, what do I need to do? So just prepping them and ask them why for sure.
Yeah, well, I think you probably know me well enough to know that I'm a big fan of figuring out someone's why as well. So I think that's great.
Yes.
I think that's great advice for anyone, but certainly for someone that, you know, is maybe in college and kind of considering their career options. So so we've covered a lot, and as we start to wrap up our conversation today, and this has been super fun, Jasmine, so thank you again for joining us. But
yes, thank you.
If there were one thing that advisors listening to our conversation could take away from what we've covered and who you are and the work you do, what would you want that one thing to be?
I think, you know, even though not every advisor is not going to work, and they may not run into situations where they're working with people or meeting people that are in the LGBTQ community, or they might not have clients or any experience. So I think what I'd really like to take away another advisor to take away is, you know, it's really important to understand the community, and it's simply understanding terminology and pronouns, because that can go a long way in building trust and establishing that relationship. So it's just really like being open-minded and being educated on it, so that if you run into that situation, you're not caught off guard and you're able to make that person feel comfortable. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, some people in our community think that everyone just knows, and it's not always that they're trying to be rude or disrespectful. They just don't understand. So I think you know, having an open mind and taking the time to really understand pronouns and different terminology so that you don't, you know, you don't want to start off on the wrong foot, or say, you know, really just, you know, you accept that you might make mistakes or assumptions and just be open to, you know, to learning more about the community. And I think it would be helpful overall and just in their business and just being more, educated on it. It's just, it goes a long way.
Are there any, with that in mind, are there any like specific resources or, communities or organizations that you would point people to if they are interested in just, you know, being a little bit more self-educated about the, LGBTQ community and pronouns and some of the other things that you've highlighted? Is there like a resource or something you would point someone to?
So honestly, a lot of what I share on my social media is kind of geared towards LGBTQ planning. So definitely you can find some of the articles that I find through my resources and my strategic partners. I will post them and share them. But it, I mean, it's just as easy as just going on the internet and kind of searching, like, search LGBTQ, like, terminologies, different words. And I have like PDFs and things like that, but they were provided through like a resource center, from our broker dealer. But I try to share as much as I can on my social media. So if people want to learn more, for sure, check out anything I'm sharing or resharing or posting, and, or feel free to reach out to me and I can probably find some pieces that I have saved and I'm happy to share. And I think too, like I was mentioning, the Wealth Cares, the women's forum that we do. And I'm actually probably going to speak to just our female advisors about it and kind of educate them, because once I started telling them about that, you know, my story, they were like, yeah, we'd love to kind of learn more about that. So I think, yeah, just look out for stuff that I'm sharing, reposting, or simple as a Google search, or, you know, there's tons of different articles and statistics and things like that you can kind of check out, and just resources. So I would just start simple, learning terminology and understanding pronouns. I think they're the first two things that are first step, like when you get to know someone, if someone introduces them a certain way or however, you know, that you kind of understand it and it doesn't make you feel, you know, you're not taken aback when like, oh man, I don't know what that means, or, you know, you don't know how to approach it. So
it sounds like ultimately there's a lot of information out there. People just have to be willing to go out and look for it.
Yeah. It's not something everyone's thinking about every day. Obviously I am, because it's personal for me, but you know, not everybody or not many people are just going to go and search that. It's just might not be their focus, or they just never even think of it. So, I would just say just making that effort to really understand different cultures, different communities, things like that is super helpful. That way you're able to connect with people if you really take the time to understand them.
Yeah. Well, and before we wrap up our conversation today, we'll make sure to let people know how they can find you and follow you on social and that sort of thing. But you mentioned a couple of times throughout our conversation, like the women's forum at Wealth Care, and then you've mentioned Wealth Care and more specifically our planning software, which is referred to as GDX or GDX 360. From your perspective and your experience, Jasmine, how has Wealth Care helped you and your clients?
Oh man, I think I'm Wealth Care's biggest cheerleader sometimes. I mean, it's funny, you know, Alicia's always like, Jasmine, can you like, you know, talk to this person and kind of just share with them your experience? And she likes to connect me with other people, their new advisors, and like, you know, let them know they're similar to your, you know, how you run your business. So let them kind of know your experience and stuff. And I sit there and blab. As far as anything you can think of, pretty much creating investment proposals for, you know, I'll go to the investment team and say, hey, I have a client, you know, they have a time frame of this, because of the time frame, I'm thinking of this risk, you know, could you help me with a little presentation for, you know, this specific portfolio? Or, hey, I want to do a email campaign or some type of marketing campaign. Can we edit some marketing pieces that are tailored to me? And we've done that. We've done a millennial women campaign for me where we had to go in and change the pictures, change some of the wording, you know, filter it based off that. So I've got investment proposals. We have marketing ideas, marketing content, compliance, operations on the back end, the financial planning software. Obviously, there's monthly webinars. So we're always being educated. We just recently created that Women's Wealth Care Forum. So we're really trying to see how we can help each other. And it's just like a family. There's a lot of us, but it's also so tight knit. It just feels like we're just this tight, like little family. And, I never feel like I'm bothering anyone or, asking stupid questions, whether it's, hey, the planning software if I'm having a technical issue, WealthCare helps. If I want to create something from scratch, my website that I use, I worked with the marketing team and I said, hey, this is what I want to do. Can we do this? Boom, done. Like, it's just anything you can think of, trading. I just have to send an email and have people are always, you know, supporting us on the back end all the time. And I always like to start with that relationship when I'm meeting clients so they understand who WealthCare is and how the process works. So I'm not the one sitting there watching the stock market or doing any trading or anything like that. Like, we have people that's all they do, and they're going to do their best at it. And I think that's important for people to know, like, oh, you have a bunch of people behind you. It's not just, oh, you're Jasmine, you're my advisor, and you're doing so much stuff, you're spread too thin. It's like, no, I have like an army, like a whole family behind me that's helping with anything you could think of. So I couldn't do most of, or anything I've been doing really without WealthCare. So, like I said, I'm a huge cheerleader for WealthCare. I'm always brought in to share my experience with new advisors because I really do see that the value and, you know, the financial planning software that is patented process, that's cool. That sets us apart. You know, we're able to share that with clients. Like, yeah, you might see some other different planning software, but you're only going to get this here. This is our stuff right here. We got some awesome tools. So, I think they're just a huge support system in any area you can think of.
Yeah. Well, I think you, well, thanks for all that. I think the word that stuck out most in my mind is you use the word family, and that's how I often think about like WealthCare and the company and the community. And speaking on behalf of myself and on behalf of the organization, we're super excited. You're part of the WealthCare family, Jasmine. So
I appreciate all of you.
Yeah. So looking down the road just a little bit, and then we're going to wrap things up because we've, like I said, we can probably keep going. This time's kind of flown by here, but looking down the road, 5 years out, where do you want to be as a financial planner?
So for me, I think, you know, like I said, I don't like to measure success by numbers at all. So it's never going to be about that, but I think specifically if I look 5 years down the road, I want to see like, since I'm starting with clients that are younger and have, you know, so much time that they're going to have so much transition, I just really want to see my clients succeed in their life goals and things like that, because I have people who are getting, you know, probably going to be married or getting married in that time frame. And I think that I just want to be able to see those people succeed, and I want to be able to have a bunch of people, clients or not, but just a bunch of people know a lot more about what we do and how we do it. And I really want to just grow like the women, the LGBTQ. I want to grow my audience and, you know, my clients with more of that, you know, the women in the LGBTQ community, with more of those potential clients or prospects, and make sure they're educated, whether they become a client or not. It's just, like I said, maybe doing webinars for groups. I just want to be like that person in 5 years where everyone's like, oh yeah, she's really helpful with, you know, she really helped women and she's really helped LGBTQ communities. Like, she's the one to go to. That's my goal for 5 years. And whether that means I have 10 clients, 50 clients, 100 clients, I don't care. I really want to grow with my clients, because, and that's a cool part of focusing on this younger generation, is like, I'm going to be with them with, for so many life changes. So it's just, I think it's going to be really cool, you know, 5 years to see where we're all at. And I just, my goal is to grow, like, just grow the people that I've been able to put, you know, impact their lives. And like I said, not measuring by numbers or any success like that. Just simply like life, success in life, and growing with them. I think that's going to be the coolest part, and definitely rewarding. It's like, wow, remember 5 years ago, like, you didn't know anything about this, and you just were starting off in this job, and I've been an advisor for, you know, just a year, and I've been in the field for, you know, almost four. So it's like, and then I'm going to have almost 10 years under my belt. It's just, I definitely, it's going to be cool. I'm excited. I'm young. My clients are young, and there's like there's so much opportunity for us. So just seeing the growth, really, I think will be what I like to see, is people understanding and just growing my reach.
Well, that sounds like an exciting 5-year plan. And I know we at WealthCare are excited to, you know, go on that journey with you, and maybe we'll have to have a spotlight part two and check back in with you a few years down the road and see, see where you're at that point. That might be a cool conversation to have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Jasmine, I know ahead of this conversation, you shared some links with me, for your social media and things like that, which we'll obviously, publish along with this episode once it's released. But for folks who are listening, that want to get in touch or learn more, what's the best way for people to reach out and learn more about you?
So, like I said, I share a lot of LGBTQ articles and things like that on Facebook, on LinkedIn, or Instagram. And I shared those links with you, so those will be available to everyone. And then the website that I mentioned earlier that WealthCare had me create just tells you a little bit, you know, a short bio on me and kind of my connection with WealthCare, the WealthCare process. And you know, you can shoot me an investor questionnaire, you can shoot me an email from there, and that's the age we're in. It's all digital, so social media and my website is, you'll be able to kind of see what I'm sharing, and it can be personal stuff, it could be me having fun at an event or a sports event, you'll see a lot of that, but you know, it's also educational stuff. So it's a little bit of everything, kind of get to know me as an individual and as an advisor. So definitely feel free to reach out to me on any of those platforms or shoot me an email.
Well, thanks for putting that offer out there. I'm sure we'll have some folks that are going to reach out or certainly want to follow along your journey over the next 5 years and beyond. So Jasmine, this has been a blast. I mean, I look at the clock and we've actually gone about an hour, and typically these conversations go 30, maybe 45 minutes. So, I think this is just indicative of how your, excitement and passion around your work is infectious. And like I said, we can probably keep going on and on, but let's wrap things up. I want to thank you for joining us and sharing a little bit about your journey and the work you're doing and the people you're serving. Any last, final closing comments, anything else you want to add before we wrap it up today?
I don't think so. I think, you know, mostly, I just want to thank you, of course, for reaching out to me and taking the time to do this. I think this is cool. It's awesome. And gives us more time one-on-one. We're always in group settings, so that's great. And just thank WealthCare as a whole and Alicia for, you know, reaching out and saying, hey, I think you and Rush should connect on this. So thank you to everyone at WealthCare, and thank you for you and your time and your platform. And, you know, I always get your emails too, so I want everyone that's watching this, I'm sure, gets your emails. So, you know, it's cool. It's cool to be able to now provide you insight on the way I do stuff. And after seeing all your emails, and now you get a little inside view of what I do. So yeah, just thank you.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is, I'm super appreciative. This has been a blast, and we look forward to keeping in touch and seeing, see how things develop, how you continue to get a lot of fulfillment and reward from your work as a financial planner in the days, months, and years ahead. So Jasmine, thanks again. And, And everyone out there listening, thanks for joining us. This has been another episode of the Wealthcare Advisor Spotlight, and we look forward to joining you on our next episode.